Zoom. I'm Jenny, one of the stewards here at Wesley Memorial. Afterwards, we go through for coffee, so follow the crowd and do come through for a conversation, a chance to meet some of us here. We'd like to get to know you. Something else to look out for on the screen is the advert for the church party on Friday, which is a lovely occasion, and if you are free, please do come along and join us. It's not too late to sign up. We're very pleased that our superintendent minister, Miriam, is preaching this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Good morning, everyone. I hope that this finds you well on a rather dingy January morning. It's a joy to be with you and a joy to be together. Shall we just pause for a moment of quiet as we gather in the presence of God? Friends, everything you need for this morning should appear on the screens behind me. If you need a hymn book, please do just ask someone by the door and you will be very welcome to a hymn book. But all the words will appear on the screen. When we come to parts of our prayers and liturgy, as you'll see behind me, if you would feel free to join me in the words in the yellow type, that would be wonderful. And we do tend to stand to sing, but if seated is a more comfortable position for you, then please do so. Shall we pray? Come among us, loving God, you who cast the planets into space and cradled the sparrow in her nest. Come, loving God, and meet us here. Come among us, loving God, you who bless the poor and the broken, and stand by the sad and the strong. Come, loving God, and meet us here. Come among us, loving God, you who dance in the silence and shine in the darkness. Come, loving God, and meet us here. Amen. Friends, we sing together our first hymn for this morning. If you're following in a hymn book, it's number 443. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. We sing together.
Thank you.
Let's pray for a moment. Holy God, we thank you for bringing us together today. We offer before you all that we come carrying, the joys and the sorrows, the things that we are looking forward to, and the things that we might be dreading. Holy One, we thank you that in every moment you journey with us. Wonderful love. You carry us, you hold us. You stand alongside us. So, Holy One, as we gather for worship, we pray that we may know you present, that we may feel your spirit at work in this place, that you may encourage and challenge us as we seek to be your people, to love and to serve, but also to disturb the ways of the world. So, Holy One, as we gather, be with us, we pray. In the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen. Friends, we're going to watch a little video clip, but you just had a tiny preview there. And this morning we're going to, it's not Paddington Bear, I promise you. We're going to watch a little video clip made by the Pixar studio called For the Birds. Now, if you can't see the screen, I suggest you might want to move, because there's about 3 minutes or so of this short clip. There are no words, just images, and I hope that you enjoy. It gets more exciting, I think. Oh! What do you think? How do we treat others differently? You'll notice those birds, those little ones, first of all, are going like this to each other. And they're pecking at each other and they're arguing already. And then this big bird, who looks nothing like them at all, who seems to be not of their type, turns up and wants to join the party. And they're all very grumpy about this. And they look at him and they start being unkind and they even start mocking this bigger bird. And then look what happens. Look what happens. I think for me, this video is a humorous depiction of what happens when we behave differently, when someone else comes along, someone who might not be like us. We see that those little birds don't accept their new friends. They don't respect their new friend at all. They wish that they would go away. In fact, they even take action to make sure that the other bird does go away. But look how that backfires. Look how their unkindness is almost paid back to them. But notice, when the small birds have lost all their feathers, who do they hide behind? Who do they treat as a shield? Who do they seek shelter with? The big bird. And admittedly, the big bird starts laughing at them too, so well, there's a little bit of kind of, I'll get you back for that. But friends, Jesus repeatedly tells us and shows us through the Bible that we should love our neighbours as ourselves and welcome the stranger. But also not just welcome, but embrace, include, make a part of us. So this week, whether we're at school or work or at home or in church, let's think about how we behave to others. If someone comes in and we're unsure, how do we behave? Do we start grumbling amongst each other? Or do we truly welcome and embrace? So how can we challenge ourselves in our behaviour to others? And how can we follow Jesus' example? Let's not be like those little birds, pecking and mocking and being unkind. But let's seek to follow Jesus and love each other. We're going to sing again, friends. Number 673, if you're following in a hymn book. Number 673. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? We sing together.
Thank you.
Please do be seated. We're going to pray for our children and young people and their leaders as they go to their groups. So let's pray. Holy One, we thank you for the gift of all ages in our community. We pray for each of our young people and their leaders this morning, that you will guide them, that you will help them to have fun as they learn more about you. And we pray for ourselves that remain here, that you will guide and keep us. We say it together, the Lord be with you. Friends, we have a real treat this morning. The choir are going to sing for us from Handel's Messiah, Behold the Lamb of God. Thank you. So, friends, we hear our scripture readings from the book of Isaiah and from John's Gospel. Thank you.
Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born, While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, "For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you."
The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter.
Thank you so much, Chris and Oliver, for sharing our readings. We're going to sing again before we think a little more about them. We're going to sing a song that reflects, I hope, aspects of what we heard in the passage from Isaiah. We're going to sing together number 728, if you're following in a hymn book. O God, you search me and you know me. Be seated. Would you pray with me for a moment? Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, as we seek to unpack your word of scripture together, we pray for your spirit, still small voice, still small feeling, to be amongst us. Pray that by your word, we may go from this place to encourage others to come and see, come and encounter, come to be built up, that we might go as light to the nations. I pray that the words I offer may be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Christ. Amen. Friends, when I was a small child, and I think actually probably still now, I was quite inquisitive. I use the word inquisitive. My parents use the word nosy. And I think both are probably accurate. When I was very small, I'm told that I used to, when I first started walking, want my parents, my sister, everyone I was with to come and look at things with me. Now, my mum used to be quite embarrassed by this because I seemed to notice the specks of things on the carpet or the dust on the surface. And I used to take my friends over and point to a leaf on the carpet or a bit of dust on the surface. And my mum would be quite embarrassed, to be honest. But I had this wonder for the world, maybe nosiness, we might want to call it. I always wanted everyone around me to come and see and experience the things that I was seeing. Come and look at this. Come and look at this. Come and see. Come and see that my sister is pinching me again. And come and see that I've just pulled her hair in response. Come and see. Perhaps I didn't want my mum to see that quite as much. But when we say come and look, come and see, or even you have to see this, there is something for us about wanting others to see what we have seen, to experience what we have experienced, to share the moment together, to join the adventure, to come along for the ride, to make those moments more real for us. I remember when I first moved to this circuit 5.5 years ago now, we had a wonderful welcome service on Zoom because we were in COVID times. And I remember such a wonderful occasion, but feeling a bit odd sitting in my study on my own as I met all you wonderful people on a screen. I wanted someone in that space to share that experience with me. I love this connected passage from John's Gospel. The interconnected stories both contain an invitation to others to come and see in response to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God. Throughout the Gospels, we often find that seeing is equated with believing. Jesus feeds 5,000, heals the sick, pardons the sinner, eats with the tax collector, all of which are public acts seen by others. Thomas, who we often disparage, believes Jesus is risen when he sees him, when he can touch him, when there is a tangible experience of Jesus alive. The women in the garden believe in the resurrection of Christ when they encounter him there. John's Gospel is full of those tangible seeing and experience moments where people encounter the living Christ for themselves. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus' simple invitation is to come and see where he is staying. Come and see, he says to those who ask him the question. And it's intriguing. I think it works both as a literary device, enticing the hearer and the reader of the gospel to enter into the world and story of Jesus and to be changed by it. We do not have the privilege of seeing Jesus in person among us, yet we still hear and encounter and see Jesus at work through the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, we see two initially unnamed disciples of John who watch Jesus and hear John's words. Here is the Lamb of God. Something about this man, something about that term, the Lamb of God, makes them turn from what they're doing and follow. They ask where Jesus is staying, and he says, come and see. They go and they stay with him for a while. That come and see in that moment is seemingly a throwaway comment. Yet by inviting and hospitably welcoming Andrew and the other disciple into the place where he was staying, the word about Jesus begins to spread. Andrew finds his brother and brings him to Jesus. If Jesus had not invited those two to come and see where he was staying, would the message have spread, I wonder? This invitational language hints at something more. I am no true Greek scholar, so friends amongst us who are may want to say something to me afterwards. But in Greek, the word staying is menein, which has several meanings in John's Gospel. It is often translated as abide. Perhaps the disciples are asking Jesus, with whom and where will he abide? Will he abide with the rich, the religious leaders? Who will he spend his time and ministry with? Surely not the poor fishermen, the tax collectors, the outcasts, the ill, the frightened, the lonely, the hurting, the sinner. Jesus invites, and those words perhaps hint at something more, a challenge for them and for us to pick up and follow where Jesus goes, to abide where Jesus abides, to discover for ourselves where Jesus really stays or chooses to be, with whom he breaks bread. Friends, I believe that Jesus today is continually inviting us to come and see, always at work, always longing to draw us deeper into the life of love and hope and joy, but also to face the challenges of this world. In this text, so begins the chain reaction of following Jesus. From that simple invitation, others are invited to come and see Jesus, and in turn, to be changed. In the passage that immediately follows this one that we didn't read today, Philip then invites Nathanael to come and see also. The message is short and simple in one sense, but immensely challenging and difficult in another. Following Jesus changes the follower forever. We receive a new name, child of God, beloved. To come and see Jesus should be life transforming. So what does this gospel passage encourage of us today? I've already said that I think Jesus' invitation is hugely important. We are compelled, friends, to follow Jesus. Lives are transformed, worlds turned upside down, new journeys set out upon. Those words of Jesus, come and see, changed the lives of those disciples, and hopefully have changed ours. Yet, I feel that one very important part of this passage is that Jesus' initial invitation is taken up by others. Others are invited. Others come and see. People begin to join the movement to encounter Jesus for themselves. Jesus begins that process of unequivocal, open invitation. But it has to be taken up by others. Jesus' invitation is not reserved to those of a particular status, or as we have it in our video this morning, a particular kind of bird. Jesus' invitation is not reserved for those who identify in a specific way. It is open and warm and full of grace and love and hope. So friends, I wonder if you might ponder for a moment how you came to know Christ, how you might have come to the church. Did someone invite you to come and to see? Were you dragged along to church as a child, as I initially was, and then encountered Jesus for yourself? Who invited you? Those people may not have used particular words or phrases, but they invited us to come and to see, to come and encounter, to read the word, to experience and belong, to share and hear our stories. This challenge is for all of us to do likewise, to remember that Christ, in continually calling us, has so many more to call. It's the call of all of us, whether lay or ordained, to continue inviting people to come and see. We as a church are trying and succeeding in many ways in being more invitational, more welcoming, encouraging people to feel welcome in this space. But friends, we are inviting people not only to come and sit in church on a Sunday or come to one of our groups, but above all to encounter the living Christ, the light to the nations, as Isaiah has it, the salvation of the ends of the earth. We have a responsibility and a privilege. It might be scary, and sometimes it is. And I'm not beginning to pretend that it's an easy thing to do. Most of us are quite anxious about sharing. Some of us are natural introverts. Others worry people might think we're weird, whether it might be embarrassing, or whether people might want to come or even come back or not. Yet we need to remember that the church is not full of perfect people. Some of you might be, maybe not. The church is not full of perfect people. We are all ordinary people with amazing stories to share about the ways in which Jesus has touched our lives. When we've seen or encountered something amazing, most of us instinctively want to show or tell someone else. Surely our encounters with the living Christ are amazing and transformative enough for us to want to share them with others. So friends, I invite us to continue to ponder and to pray about how we individually might intentionally invite others to come and see the overwhelming love and light of Christ for themselves. What can we say? Who can we invite? What will help us feel more confident in giving the invitation? I wonder. Things for us to ponder. I'd like to finish this morning with a few words from a hymn by John Bell and Graham Moore. I did think about singing it this morning, but I actually wanted to read some of the words to you. Come with me, come wander, come welcome the world, where strangers might smile, or where stones might be hurled. Come leave what you cling to, lay down what you clutch, and find with hands empty that hearts can hold much. Come walk in my company, come sleep at my side. Come savour a lifestyle with nothing to hide. Come sit at my table and eat with my friends, discovering the love which the world never ends. Friends, Christ invited and continues to invite us to come and see, to come and encounter, to come and be changed, to come and live in the love and grace, to come and be forgiven, to come and find room for wholeness, to come and abide with Jesus. So I pray that our invitations to come and see might be open and filled with love, as Jesus was. Friends, with whom will we abide? And who will we invite to come and see? Amen. Friends, in a moment we're going to sing our next hymn. If you're following in a hymn book, it's number 498. During our hymn, we will take up our offering. Baskets will pass amongst you. If you haven't come prepared, please do simply pass that basket on. And if you would perhaps like to offer an offering by card, we do have a card machine at the back of the church. We sing together number 498, God of all power and truth and grace. Let's pray. Holy God, we come offering our gifts. We pray that you would take these gifts and us, your people, that these gifts may be used for your glory, and that we, in turn, might invite others to come and see your love and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We include in our prayers of intercession today prayers written by the Methodist Church as part of a 6-week campaign,
Voices for Haiti, to focus our minds on Haiti, its people, and the work of the Methodist Church in that country. After each bidding, there will be a short time of silence in response to the words, God, our strength and hope, please respond with, hear our prayer. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. God of all creation, you call us to be one body, united in love and justice. As we gather in prayer, we remember the suffering of your people across the world, in places torn by war, poverty, and injustice. We hear their cries and bring before you the many places and situations that are on our hearts and minds today. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. God of compassion and justice, we lift before you the people of Haiti, enduring violence, displacement, and despair. Strengthen those who teach, heal, and minister in the midst of the chaos. Protect children, women, families, and communities forced to flee their homes. May your peace reign where fear now dwells. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for the Haiti district, for its leaders, ministers and members. In the face of insecurity and hardship, grant courage, wisdom, and your sustaining grace. May your Spirit guide them in every decision and action. We thank you for the ways in which they are your hands and feet in the communities that they serve. May they continue to be beacons of your light, love, and peace. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. God of all nations, awaken our hearts to the cries of those in need. May we not turn away, but respond with generosity, advocacy, and prayer. Unite us in your mission of healing and justice. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. As we pray, stir up your love, rekindle your hope and strengthen our spirits, that what we might be to the world as you are to us, a loving, gracious, merciful, humble servant. Where there is a conflict in our churches, communities, and the world, we pray that we may actively work for peace. At the start of the week of prayer for Christian unity, we pray for the work of all the churches in Oxford, and that together we might bring healing and hope for all who seek its witness. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are ill or anxious at home or in hospital, and in the silence we name those known to us. We pray that we will continue to live our lives thoughtfully and with respect to others we meet. We pray for those whose lives are filled with fear and despair. Draw near with your saving love and bring healing and hope. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. God of glory, we rejoice in the communion of saints. We remember all who have faithfully lived and all who have died in Christian hope. And in the silence, we name those known to us. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them into the fullness of your eternal joy. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. God of love, we pray for the work of this church and for your blessing on Yanni and James, who are to be married this week. May they live together in love and faithfulness. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. And we conclude our prayers by saying the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Derek. Friends, we come to our final hymn, which is number 459, if you're following in a hymn book. Captain of Israel's Host and Guide is a hymn that Methodists pretty much only, I think, sing at Methodist conference. I think that's a shame. So we're going to sing it today. You may disagree with me, and that's perfectly allowed. But we're going to sing this today, reminding us of the God who travels with us, the God who guides and leads us, and the God who calls us to come and see. So we sing together number 459.
Thank you.
It's just a reminder to join us for tea and coffee and conversation after the service, if you are able. Just through these doors on my left, your right, and follow the crowd. You would be most welcome. Let's pray. May our God of love, who has called us into being and called us to serve, who always journeys alongside us, give us strength and wisdom to do all that God would have us do as we call others to come and to see. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all, now and always. Amen. Thank you.